Welcome, friends. It is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 16th of January, 2013, here in Japan, the 15th back in the States, where I'm joined on the line by the one, the only Jack Blood of the Jack Blood Show on NoAgendaStream.com, also DeadlineLive.info. And we generally have him up once a month, but last month there were gremlins in the system that were keeping us apart. But here we are together again. Jack, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on.
That intro sounded like one of my intros, so good job.
you're rubbing off on me.
The one and only, good thing. It's a good thing there's only one of me. I have been having all these hacking problems lately. I don't know if you've been getting this, but it's really been hitting me pretty hard on every single front. So, you know, if I sound a little haggard today, it's because I'm old, but also because of all the hacking. I must be over the target, no?
I guess so. It hasn't been hitting me as bad, so I wonder what target I'm missing. But that's too bad to hear. I see that Deadline Live is up as we speak at any rate, so I guess you're working overtime behind the scenes to keep it up and running. But always
teams of people working hard 24 hours a day to keep me up. No pun intended.
Indeed. Well, your million-dollar staff behind the scenes, I'm sure. All right. Well, always just a ton of information breaking across the news wires on DeadlineLive.info. Once again, if people aren't checking it out on a regular basis, why not? It's a great news source, so I hope you are. Let's go through, I don't know what you want to talk about, what's on your radar, but let's talk about whatever's crossing your mind these days.
Go to my website, why not? What a great plug that was. I'm going to take that as a promo during my show. We haven't talked since Sandy Hook happened, and I know we covered the Aurora massacre pretty heavily, and then there was the Oregon Mall shooting, which is now just buried, not getting any play. That poor shooter over there, he's like Farrah Fawcett, you know, dying on the same day as Michael Jackson. It's just not what he didn't get the publicity. Well, he's dead now, but he didn't get the publicity he needed. But we haven't talked since Sandy Hook. So I'd like to get, I know you did some work on this, and I was going to play that on my show, your clips of your analysis of the Sandy Hook Newtown, New World Town, Connecticut massacre. But I'm going to have you on my show the last Monday of the month, and we'll save it for that. But tell me, I guess, refresh me, give me the bullet points on how you found the massive obfuscation and constantly changing story coming out of the officials regarding Sandy Hook Elementary School.
Well, to be honest, I haven't done a lot of analysis on it because I have been holding back in the absolute tidal wave of coverage that's been going on both in the alternative and the mainstream, and I've been sort of holding back, sort of watching what's going on. So I'm interested to hear your take on this. I know you've been covering it a lot on your program. Let's hear about some of the things that you've uncovered. Yep.
Unfortunately, there is so many crazy misdirection anomalies coming out of the mainstream media in this. One of the most important, I thought, was when the police chief came out and said that anyone speculating on what might, they're not giving any information, but anybody that speculated what might have happened in Connecticut, you know, should maybe be shut down or even arrested. And it reminded me of George W. Bush saying after 9/11, you know, let us not tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories. You know, here we are again. And this is kind of the 9/11 of public shootings, let's call it this. And the first time I saw, and we covered it live on the show, James, and when there was two people and two shooters and, you know, the information was coming unfettered. It had been uncensored. They hadn't fixed the official story yet, I guess, but I went and looked later after the show that day and saw that 20 children were killed. And I said, that's it. You know, who's going to deny this? This is like the congressman that signed onto the Patriot Act without reading it because 20 children were killed. So they've got, I mean, excuse the pun, they've got their ammunition right now. And over here, everybody's talking about gun control. There's really not another discussion. There's no other news. There's nothing else going on in the world. It's are you pro-gun or are you again a gun? Where do you stand on guns? You can't even talk to people and go out and have a good conversation about sports or something without guns getting into it. And obviously that was the intended result, at least one of them, on what we call a cost-benefit analysis. Right, James? I mean, they benefit on a multitude of endgame lines here. But the fact that they got everything wrong from the beginning, they thought the shooter was his brother. They had second shooters and even third shooters, some would say, reminiscent of Columbine in some ways. Well, the whole thing, very reminiscent of Columbine. And you know, and they turned out to be some autistic kid who was, by the way, a computer genius and whose entire internet history was scrubbed. Then there's the references of Sandy Hook as a strike zone in the movie Batman, the Batman Rising or Dark Knight Rising movie, and Aurora also mentioned in that before it even came out. So people were speculating on that. The fact that the father of this shooter, this alleged shooter, because I'm not sure he isn't anything more than a patsy, James, at this point, is a muckety-muck bean counter, the number one bean counter at GE Financial. If you don't know, it's General Electric Financial. Their financial department has something in the essence of $500 billion in assets. A pretty important guy, I would think. And a lot of people were connecting that to the fact that James Holmes' father was detecting fraud with FICO regarding the LIBOR scandal. And that is a coincidence that is kind of hard to miss. Then they began building the official story. This was an assault weapons case, and we must ban assault weapons, even though there was no assault weapon used in the shooting. This is though the coroner said that the people, the kids shot and the people shot at Sandy Hook Elementary School were shot with an assault weapon. The assault weapon was actually in the trunk of this gentleman's car, if we're to believe, again, the official story. That the mother, the guy shot his mother, and he was jealous of the mother spending time at the school, and she was a teacher at the school. She wasn't a teacher at the school. As far as we know, there was no connection to the mother at this school, and that the mother was a survivalist, so there was no food or anything that would indicate that she was a survivalist in the house, and nobody can actually say that. In fact, this was more just a rumor coming around by various people interjecting their thoughts. In fact, one of those people was a well-known hoaxer. I mean, it's just one thing after the other. None of it adds up. None of it is true. And the story is constantly changing. So what are we supposed to think? This has led people to believe, James, that this event never happened at all. That the parents and the children are nothing more than actors and doppelgangers. And we've seen this a lot lately, spiraling as rumors throughout the internet. And we remember that for 9/11, that no planes hit the Pentagon, or no planes, well, I don't know about that, but no planes hit the World Trade Center tower. We didn't see that. Those were holograms. And it has descended into almost information anarchy. To try to figure out what actually happened at Sandy Hook is almost impossible. I just can tell you one thing. I have a 9-year-old that goes to an elementary school, and I'm very concerned about, you know, the safety of our children and the safety of all of us in public places. So as always, the solutions were already there before the actual event even happened, and we're still trying to figure it out. It's amazing to me. There is, of course, video footage, right, of supposedly of this shooter, Adam Lanza, coming into the school. We haven't seen it. There is really nothing in the way of any kind of evidence to prove what has now become the official story for Sandy Hook. But we have moved on now to the solution part of the program. We don't really know what happened. We don't really have a clear understanding of what happened. We certainly don't, like the Bin Laden death. I got in trouble for debunking the Zero Dark 30 movie that just came out, aided by the CIA. We just don't have anything. It's like the Bin Laden death in Pakistan. There's no residence. They've bulldozed it. There's no forensic evidence. There's no body. There's really no witnesses, and SEALs are dropping like flies. But yet we have moved to the solution part of the program, and America, most of them, are very confused by a lot of this. And we're experts in this information piece, as you might call it, and we don't even know what happened. So that's, I guess, where do I stand? I don't know where I stand. It sure looks like a false flag to me, James.
Well, here's, I think, the important part that you just brought out there, and that's that you were, as you say, they had the solution already prepared before this even happened. And at a certain point, I mean, obviously, it's important and it's interesting, and for the sake of the people involved, obviously, we should get to the bottom of what did and didn't happen and how it did and didn't happen. But at a certain point, in terms of the conversation about where we go from here as a society, that it actually doesn't matter, because obviously all of that is now just background to this debate about the solutions that they want to propose. So whether or not this is a rabbit they pulled out of their hat or one they were just waiting to spring on at the at an opportunity, it amounts to the same thing, which is this conversation that's going on about guns right now. And I understand, I certainly do understand for parents in America who have children going to schools that are worried about what's happening there. But I don't know. I wonder, I fear about the way that we've descended into government by crisis, and that this is the only thing that people seem to respond to anymore are these crisis events, these things that can be hyped 24/7, so that you're, you know, any, the chance of a certain kid being gunned down in school is 1 in 10 million or whatever it is, but it's astonishingly unlikely. But people will fear that much more than they'll fear a car crash, which is statistically, you know, thousands of times more likely to happen. Why is that? It's because of the way that the media feeds into this. So that's part of my concern about these stories is that I feel that we're being led along by the nose by these types of sensational stories and the hype and the 24/7 coverage, and then the alternative media seems like it's being led along to, well, you've got to cover this now because this is what the mainstream media is covering and you've got to debunk it. So it seems like no matter what they do, whatever they put out on the plate, they're still controlling the conversation.
Well said. Now that's perfect. And well, with the guns, you know, there are gun lobby groups out there and certainly gun manufacturers. And I got to tell you that after this, more people are buying guns than ever before. Just a mere thought that Obama is about to potentially put through a number of executive orders to make several guns and people, not just guns, but people, right? Illegal. Okay. Is scaring people. And so they're loading up on guns. And who benefits from something like that? You know, we are seeing a coming clash of civil war. This is one of those things that have come out of the Obama White House, and there's so many of them. You know, black versus white, or minority versus white guy, men versus women. You know, Trayvon Martin versus George Zimmerman, and rich versus poor, the 99% versus the 1%, which we now have learned through the new, you know, solutions to the fiscal cliff. This imaginary fiscal cliff is actually the 2%, not the 1%. They're going for broke. So this is just another thing, guns or no guns. And this starts turning people against each other. I happen to think that this whole gun debate, and we can get into this seriously if you want to, but I've been doing it on my show, and that I think it's a lot to do about nothing. I think it's a diversion, a weapon of mass distraction, a dog and pony show, and an illusion to cover up for something else. And so we've gotten into that. And one of those things that we can see that both the Republicans and the Demopublicans agree on, James, is that mental health testing needs to take place. You know, kind of like the new freedom initiative that George Bush tried to pass through, No Child Left Behind, right out of the eugenics organization known as UNESCO. Okay, they want to put through some kind of initiative to make sure that if you're a good slave or a bad slave, they get to test you. And that's what the New Freedom Initiative was. They'll test every school child to see if they're a broken machine or a good machine, whether they're conforming or they're not conforming, and then start putting them on drugs, which, by the way, the Obamacare policies cover. they pay for the drugs, and of course they're going to give you those drugs. So I don't know about I know the gun discussion is hard to get away from. I've tried to stay away from it. It is sensationalized to the max. Everybody seems to be benefiting from that. I think the discussion is something more in the sense of, you know, what kind of people are we? Are our neighbors looking at us and going, you know, that guy's a little weird. You know, he talks about some strange things. He looks a little bit strange. Perhaps he's a school shooter or a mall shooter or a theater shooter. And then we get to the other solution, which is what? Armed troops at all of our schools, and our children are all prisoners going to these schools, these re-education camps. You know, I mean, what is this? And so I'm not even concerned as much about the guns because I'm not giving up guns. They're not coming to take them from me physically unless I have a Hurricane Katrina here. I don't register them. I don't play by those rules. I have a shotgun here. I'm not afraid to say, and I'm not afraid to use it. But it ain't getting turned in. So I'm not sure that that's the discussion, but it is divisive. It's divisive enough to be big in America.
Well, exactly right. And you raise the other important point of what's going on right now is one of these threads that connect so many of these mass shootings is, oh, well, this person was under some kind of psychiatric care and it's now the psychiatrist's fault. They didn't do enough. And only if only we could have gotten more mental health care for this person. Of course, that leads down that slippery slope. As you're saying, soon it's going to be, you know, mandatory mental health checks for everyone. And as we've seen over the past decade, they've already started to try to make 9/11 truth and other such crazy ideas into actual mental illnesses. And if you believe this, you must clearly be insane. So,
but not just to get guns, to get on an airplane, to just walk down the street, to rent an apartment, to get food. I mean, there are no food lists. There are no live lists, no rent lists, no fly lists, no breathe list, if you listen to the global warmers, okay? So all of this, you know, is really, really important. But you would appreciate this, James. There was an assault weapons ban in Connecticut. Not that an assault weapon was used, but again, that's the meme out there. But even if there was an assault weapons ban, what good did it do? There was H.R. 2640, the Nix Improvement Act of 2008, otherwise known as the Veterans Disarmament Act, after the Virginia Tech massacre, which said that if you are somehow a mentally deficient human being, you'll be put on some kind of a list and you'll be put on a no-gun list, which specifically we felt targeted our troops on tours of duty coming back from Fallujah who might need some help for PTSD but are afraid to go get it because they'll get turned into the national database and not be able to enjoy their Second Amendment right. So there are already, and by the way, the Nix Improvement Act, H.R. 2640 by Carolyn McCarthy, Chuckie Schumer, and Ted Kennedy, one of his legacies, was approved and signed into law by President Bush. And we got both the Obama and the McCain campaigns on the record back then, and they both supported it. So this was, again, supported across. It's one of those things, you know, these people don't work together, right? Well, when they do work together, that's what you get. So all of these things were in place, and it did not stop any of these public shootings. It just didn't. So, I mean, again, what are the solutions? More laws that are selectively enforced, depending on your lawyers and who you know and who you blow and how much money you have. Is that really it? Is that what we're talking about as a solution? I got to tell you, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about on your show is this Reddit founder, this internet activist, Aaron Schwartz, that was found hung here just this week. And I really believe that there is, and some of the problems I'm having on the internet, I really believe there's almost a purging going on from people that either A, want to make it okay for you to talk and say what you want to say and file share and use various content. I know that Aaron Schwartz was against SOPA. And B, people that might deviate from the normal conversation of, you know, a thesis versus antithesis equals synthesis. That is the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. And if you do, you're going to be punished. So part of the whole Sandy Hook thing was, we don't want you talking about this and putting things out on the record that aren't true. But meanwhile, there are people making up the most fantastic rumors and conspiracy theories that are unfettered, that aren't having any problem whatsoever. So if I'm out talking about how bin Laden really didn't get killed in this big publicity stunt by Obama before the election, then I'm somehow going to be targeted. And I'm afraid that they are killing and knocking off and getting rid of some of the best internet voices and protectors on the web personally. And I think that puts you and I in danger. And I want to just say, if anybody's listening, I say this on my show, I'm not going to commit suicide. I have no thoughts of it. I would never do it. And even if I die of natural causes at my young age here, please look into it and don't just take it for granted. Whatever reports are out there, Jack Blood was depressed or whatever. Don't believe any of that. I'm not. I love my life. I love my family. I love being on your show. And there was nothing that could make me hang myself as Aaron Schwartz did. And that's, isn't that how the DC madam went down? There is some symbolic thing here when they make people hang themselves as suicide by hanging. It is a tough, tough thing to appreciate. And so they took this billionaire, this genius billionaire out. What chance do the rest of us stand here when we're trying to tell the truth and protect our internet freedoms and our freedom of speech?
Well, no one knows, I think, better than myself about how they do these types of suicidings. And I have a whole series on my podcast, Requiem for the Suicided, where we've talked about the DC Madam and Gary Webb and Terry Yakey and all of these people who have supposedly committed suicide in ridiculous and unbelievable ways. And so I know all about this, and I stress on my podcast repeatedly that I have absolutely zero intention of dying anytime in the foreseeable future. And if the Grim Reaper comes to take me before I get to meet my firstborn son and or daughter later this year, I will beat him to a bloody pulp in order to avoid it. But absolutely no. I mean,
Adams said on the record, by the way, just before she was
exactly right. Yes,
there's a carport. Yeah,
I will not kill myself. And then she ends up killing herself. And a friend comes out and says, "Oh, well, she told me all about it before she died. Honest, in an unrecorded conversation." All right, absolutely. But having said that, with Aaron Swartz, I mean, all I know about this story so far is that he died. They believe it was a hanging, and I don't think there's any autopsy or anything yet. So I don't really know if we have any basis for this other than that he was against the system per se, but he was facing this court case and potential years in jail and millions of dollars of fines. So I don't know if I am going to go out on that limb and say it was a suicide yet. So I have no
idea. Mainstream media was as measured as you are because they've already decided it.
Well, yes, exactly. And of course, we see that with things like Breitbart, where within 3 or 4 hours, they had decided what happened, which is, that was a particularly ridiculous example.
Yeah, but, well, in the case of Aaron Swartz, he wrote a manifesto about all the things he was looking forward to doing. It's, again, another person who's so busy and so on fire and so passionate to do what he does that it's incomprehensible. And again, I want people to, and I talked about this on my show today, James, think about the act of hanging oneself and how hard that is and how torturous that can be and how committed you have to be. Because once you start flopping and twitching, you have a chance to save yourself, but you don't. Hey, I don't believe it. I just don't.
Well, on the note of how they're going to crack down and how they are cracking down on the internet and people who want to, share information and do things like what we're doing with alternative media, I think there's a lot of different vectors for that. But one of them that kind of ties into the Sandy Hook is with this meme that you pointed out about how everyone's an actor and everything's staged and nothing really happened and it's all a movie set or whatever it is that people are saying these days. And I see that meme is suddenly being picked up and made in a big way. It's on Salon.com. It's on Yahoo News. It's on the Daily Telegraph in England. It's getting all over the world, these people who think that the Sandy Hook people are all actors. And of course, now they're talking about this Gene Rosen, who is one of these guys who was interviewed, who apparently had 6 of the students come up and show up on his doorstep when all of this was going on. And so he spoke to CNN or something. Now he's getting phone calls at his home and emails and death threats from people online who thinks he's an actor for this crisis acting group. And I can definitely see how they would use this and parlay this into we have to stop these internet conspiracy theorists because now they're harassing people.
No, it's horrible. You put that out in front. You show the dead kids and the families talking about it, which Piers Morgan, his name is Morgan. I'm only saying J.P. Morgan is a major controller here in this country or his relatives and offspring. No, I mean, that's exactly what they do. And that's what they tried to do with the JFK story and the 9/11 story is only promote the most fantastic and fantabulous versions of conspiracy theories to shake people off to looking at the truth. I want to go back to Swartz, though, for a minute, because this is really important. One of the biggest things happening right now, and it's happening from an epicenter of a guy named Jay Rockefeller, who's really John D. Rockefeller IV. He's a senator out of West Virginia, one of the territories the Rockefellers control because of their mining interests. Okay. He has quietly, and look how quiet this guy is. You'll never see him in the media. He doesn't grandstand. He isn't trying to get publicity. There's all kinds of things he tries to do, like controlling the airline and controlling the internet is his pet project. And they've been working on this now for years. And the things like SOPA and other things that they've tried to put forward as policy and law have failed due to popular outcries, and I appreciate that. But look, me using somebody else's content or you using somebody else's content or whoever's listening to this show, reprinting or putting something on Facebook, this is all what they're going to come after. And what the guys like Aaron Swartz know, because they're up to that echelon, that level, that they know that there is a planned internet Pearl Harbor. In fact, I do a lot of predictions at the end of the year. Half of them have already come true, James. It's only a few days into the new year. It's amazing how keyed in I think we were this year. But I have predicted that there is not the big one, but something close to the big one where people die because of hacking on the internet. And this is going to rally the troops to start legislating and making law, a lot of laws for the internet and how we share information, which has really got to be one of our most prized possessions. Look, we lost TV, we lost radio, we lost print almost for the most part, though you can still, you know, print something out and hand it out, and thank God. But, well, I mean, you might get arrested for it, but you can still do it. But the internet and guys like Aaron Swartz knew what was coming. They have the Internet Patriot Act already written. They have said so much that the new Pearl Harbor, just like 9/11 and what Project for New American Century said, is coming on the internet. And to get rid of anybody that's in the way, it has to be a top priority for the Jay Rockefellers of the world.
It certainly is. And again, this isn't just speculation. They have talked about it. Richard Clark talked about it to the Harvard professor, whose name's going to slip my mind at the moment. But he talked about it on stage at a conference a couple of years back, that there is that Internet Patriot Act. It is on the shelf. It is waiting for the big false flag, the big Pearl Harbor, the big whatever is coming. So I do agree. I think that's absolutely something we have to be ready for. The question is, what can we do about it? What is there on our side that we can be doing positively to prepare ourselves for this?
Yeah, well, we're doing it right now. And what we have to make sure of is that when the tragedy comes, and it might be Sandy Hook, some children may die. The scenarios they're putting forward, James, is that the evil terrorist or hacktivist hack into the system and airplanes crash. Water is not filtered and gets poisoned. That people actually get hurt and there's mass casualties. And what congressman, what senator, what president, what Supreme Court judge or who in the mainstream media is going to stand on all those dead bodies and say, no, no, let's not rush to judgment. So it's going to be up to us to protect what we have here. Otherwise, I advise people to start, you know, gathering equipment, wireless servers and internet equipment in your garage, because it may come to a time where in our very near future, James, where we've got to put up pirate internet.
And there are ways to do that, and I'm hoping to explore that more in my own podcast in the future, because, again, it's important that we understand that and when and if the time comes that we're ready for it. But ominously enough, just to back up what you're saying, I was just doing a report on the Royal Institute of International Affairs, aka Chatham House, which is the sort of home base of the CFR that was started in 1920 by basically the Cecil Rhodes Roundtable. And they, on their website right now, are now promoting an article from William Hague, the secretary of the foreign secretary for the UK, who wrote about arming the Information Highway Patrol, cybersecurity measures to combat the internet's dark side. So absolutely, this is being pushed on a very high level scale right now. So to see someone like Aaron Swartz going in whatever circumstances is worrying, because he certainly was a voice that was speaking out against what's happening. And I think people have to have their eye on it.
Larry Ellison and you know, Bill Gates and the I'm thinking of the actor, not the actual guy that runs Facebook. And these guys, they're not going to stand in the way of that. But a guy like Swartz was. So, I mean, that's a major coup. And that's why I'm extremely suspicious of it. And we should be. And that's something we should be prepared of. And I actually, when you want to do that show about how to set up your own internet in your neighborhoods or in your towns, have me on, because we've done a lot of research on that.
Let's do it. Excellent. And just before I let you go today, there is another one point that I wanted to bring up. You did a recent interview with Michael Maloof, the author of A Nation Forsaken, about an EMP attack. And I was so fascinated by that that, in fact, my podcast this Friday is going to be about that idea, and it's going to use some of the clips from that interview. It was a very well done interview, I think. So I hope people will check that out in the archives there. It's the January 7th edition of the Jack Blood Show. Any thoughts on that interview and how it went down?
Well, you have to know my style. So he had worked with the Pentagon on 9/11, and I managed to get in a few very cute little covert questions in the end, because he was given to us by an organization that books a lot of interviews. So I didn't want to, you know, offend him too much. But let's just say this, that all the predictors out there are predicting an EMP attack, and the volume is really rising on that, James. And it almost sounds like they've got something planned. Do people understand what that means? No electricity. It could be the end of the world and total anarchy, which might not be a bad thing, and total revolution and civil war and violence and marauding. It's really a very scary thing. And it sounds like what they've done is they've set this up to be blamed on North Korea. So I think people should be very careful about it. I mean, just listen to my interview with Maloof, and I think you'll get the picture. But I did get a chance to ask him about how did Al-Qaeda know about all the drills happening that day on 9/11. And I think he kind of did a pretty good job scooting the answer on it. There is no answer for that. It was very convenient timing of that attack. I think the answer was, well, we knew they were coming, which admits they had prior knowledge. And we were preparing for it, and we just happened to be preparing that very day at that very minute.
For that exact scenario.
Yeah, 9/11. So much to talk about, man. And one other thing I want to mention is that P2OG, the Phoenix program of psychological warfare, is in full effect. It's come home to roost here in America. Look at the witness and whistleblower testimony from Operation Gladio. We don't mind shooting children. We don't mind. We're going to have to kill innocent people in the public in order to push forward our policies. And then they say eventually to catch the terrorists. That is really what we're operating under. There is a massive psychological warfare happening upon the American people. We're going to be one of the last nations to fall in this so-called, sovereignty era. And it's up to us to stop it. It's up to us to either slow it down, stop it, or expose it. And I know you do a great job of that, James. You're just amazing, and I love being on your show. I look forward to you coming with me here at the end of the month.
Well, I'm just blushing like a maiden from all your praise there. So why don't we tell people how they can get some blood karma?
Yeah, blood karma. Well, I give 1 unit of blood karma for every $10 you donate to deadlinelive.info. And we are really in need of some equipment now. Our listeners were great, and they helped us transform our move from Austin, Texas to the Middle East, Atlanta. And your little 5 points inside the perimeter, Sector 6, that's our Federal Reserve location. But we really need some equipment now. It's going to be up to you. I'm not even sure I can keep on the air. We are having so many problems. I'm only one guy here. So please support our cause, value for value. That's how we look at it. We'll give you everything for free, but kick in. Be responsible and vote with your dollars, and do the same for my friend James Corbett.
All right, Jack, always a pleasure to have you on. Looking forward to talking to you again on your show at the end of the month.
Stay bold, my friend. Mighty forces will come to your aid.